Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a terrific day today. And how are you doing today, Dan?
Awesome. Absolutely wonderful. It's a beautiful day today. It's just a little, so it may rain a little bit again, so that'll be kind of nice. But it's doing great. A couple of weeks ago, there's something that came across my desk, and I didn't report on it because it sounded a little bit too sick. And I basically have gotten some more texts from it now. More people send me more information about Dan Harmon. And this is some stuff I don't normally like to talk about because it's so perverted. But it shows you the atavistic hatred of Christianity that Hollywood has to put stuff like this out. But Dan Harmon, basically back in 2009, did a video of him raping a baby doll. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but I've watched the video. It's about the sickest thing I've ever seen. And quite frankly, he's gotten hammered about it on social media. The mainstream media was pretty much completely silent about it. But he's now deleted his Twitter account after his 2009 video featuring a baby doll rape resurfaces. And he had close to 1 million people on his Twitter account, and he personally decided to take it down. But guys, I wanted to say something about this. If you haven't watched this, he's a co-creator of Rick and Morty, and this is on the Child Cartoon Network, and they actually showed in one of the scenes about a young boy with an animated character trying to rape a young boy in a bathroom. And it's so perverted and so sick, Austin, that I don't even know how these people can think through these things. They have to be complete and total Luciferians, and they have to be into all kinds of child sick sacrifice to be able to do stuff like this, or child pedophilia, or child abuse, or child something, or just totally perverted in the brain. But I wanted to mention that to you guys, that I did hear about that, and that's why I want to urge you guys not to park your children or grandchildren in front of the Cartoon Network and let them watch whatever they want to watch. Because, guys, it's one of those places that I would never leave a child unattended, Austin. I don't know if you knew about what happened with that a month or so ago or not, or if you want to make a comment on it, Austin.
Yeah, I did hear some weird stuff about it. I didn't go into a lot of details. It didn't surprise me because a lot of those guys wrapped up in Hollywood are extremely sick. But one thing I did want to address, as you pretty much called it yesterday, Dad, and this is something that's systemic, is repeatedly with these shootings. David Katz, the 24-year-old male who's essentially the leftist that shot up the e-tournament, the video game tournament in Jacksonville now, we've now learned that Katz has been, at least had been so far, on numerous types of psychiatric medications known to cause violent thoughts, and many of them linked to the worst mass shootings in recent history. According to the family divorce records, Katz had been in and out of treatment for psychiatric issues since the age of 12. According to a letter all the way back from 2006 from the father's attorney, Katz was prescribed a number of psychiatric medications, including antipsychotic, and saw a succession of psychiatrists. What's more is a separate 2006 court filing states that a therapist said he had experienced a psychiatric crisis while prescribing these medications. Both of Katz's parents reportedly, this is even weirder, because every time we see something like this happen, there's always some weird background to it. Both of Katz's parents reportedly worked for the federal government, according to law enforcement source. Katz's father, Richard Katz, is a NASA engineer employed at Goddard Space Flight Center outside Washington, D.C., and his mother is listed as an employee of the Food and Drug Administration. Since he was a child, Katz was prescribed a myriad of drugs, including the antidepressant Lexapro and Risperidone, including multiple other ones. If you guys know Lexapro, majority of the warnings are for suicidal risk or suicidal behavior, including side effects of hostility, aggression, agitation, anxiety, mania, psychosis, irritability, and violence. That is listed on the box of Lexapro. And what's interesting about this is that, again, this is another situation where they're going to spin this in the media now to try to push and justify more gun control, even though they're showing here, but the fact fact that he was treated for psychiatric issues, the fact that it was documented he had numerous mental breakdowns, including with the police. Katz submitted his fingerprints, underwent a background check, and passed the firearm safety training course, and legally purchased a 9mm handgun and a 45 caliber handgun in Maryland last month. Now, the odd part about this whole thing is that this kid's predominantly lived up in the Northeast. His family lives up in the Northeast. He bought firearms up in the Northeast, but yet he came down to Jacksonville and drove down to Jacksonville to basically have a Madden video game tournament, another very, very, very strange turn of events. But it is no secret that the pharmaceutical industry wields immense control over the media. This is why nobody in the media right now is wanting to talk about this. Again, almost every incident we see this happening, we see these individuals being on some type of psychiatric pharmaceutical drugs. And what's crazy is Mike Papatino, an attorney and host of the international television show American's Lawyer, explained recently, a lot of people miss this, that every major media outlet in the United States shares at least one board member with at least one pharmaceutical company. He goes, to put this blatantly in perspective, these board members wake up, go to meetings such as Merck or Pfizer, then they have their limo driver take them over to a meeting with NBC to decide what programming that network is going to air. This is why you never hear about the psychiatric drugs, the Lexapro, the Zoloft, the Paxil, any of these drugs be talked about in a negative light on any news stations whatsoever. But I thought this was crazy that, again, we see another kid who's basically been raised up with the video game industry, raised up on medications, either was staged to have this scenario, was wound up, or simply lost his mind. But the irony of this is, again, he was 24 years old. This didn't stop him from buying a firearm with the idiotic gun control that they passed with Rick Scott a few months ago. And now what they're going to do, you can already see it happening now, that's spooled up in the media, they're going to try to use this as, again, another excuse on why we need more gun laws in this country, even though they failed to address the fact that this happened again in a gun-free zone, which almost every single mass shooting known to man occurs in a gun-free zone. Just a little irony there for everybody.
By the way, before it's news is reporting that the Jacksonville shooting occurred during another drill. You know, they always have, like, to have drills, a live shooter drill or whatever. The Jacksonville video game shooting happened during a drill. Just what they're saying, I'm reading from the article. Just like what always happens when it's an MK Ultra shooting. Check out the shooter. He's a bug-eyed, drugged-out zombie. He looks very similar to Adam Lanza, which he does.
Yep.
The shooter, David Katz, had been hospitalized twice in psychiatric facilities and was prescribed antipsychotic and antidepressant medications. And he was a rabid anti-Trumper. Of course, and that's basically, but they're not talking, like you said, also, they're not covering any of this stuff again. And again, how do you wind these guys up, let them go? Now, did he live in Florida, Austin, or did he live in the Northeast? Where was he? Did he drive down?
That's the info that I'm trying to find, because a lot of his background info has not been really released yet. They're trying to get info on this. But again, like I said, he apparently is a Maryland resident. Whether or not he is a Florida resident, I do not know. I can't confirm that yet. But he definitely was a Maryland resident as of the time. And so whether or not he was staying down here temporarily, whether he was moving down here, whether he drove down here just for this video game tournament, I don't know. But it's very clear that he was a Maryland resident. He legally purchased two firearms just a month ago and then drove apparently down here supposedly for this event. But again, whether or not he's lived down here long term or not, I don't know. Again, this brings about all this speculation again on the backside of it with this very strange individual who's been raised on medications, whose family's been involved in the federal government. He comes down here for this tournament, buys guns just a month ago, freaks out during the tournament and shoots everybody up while there's a drill going on in Jacksonville. And the reason why, guys, almost every single time one of these events happen and a drill is going on, why it should raise a big red flag is the reason why, in my opinion and numerous other people's opinions as well, The reason why these events occur when they have a drill going on is essentially a backup plan B for plausible deniability. If something goes south, if something goes wrong, if the kid shorts out and he essentially does something and it doesn't go through or he runs out the back room, there are always somebody right on scene to handle him appropriately, extract him and arrest him at the scene and get him out of there, and then they can always fall back on the mainstream news and say, oh, that was just a drill they were doing, that was just a drill, nothing to see here, nothing happened, nothing's going on at all, and they have that ability to have a backup plan story if everything goes south and doesn't go the way they want it to. That's why it's always very, very coincidental when you see an incident like this coincide with a drill at the exact same time. That's a really big red flag to me, Deb.
Well, it happened with 9/11. It happens all the time. All these things were drilled.
It happens almost all of them, yeah.
Here's the biggest thing they do. Let's say if you said, tell law enforcement at 2:30 at the game, the video game conference here, we're having a law enforcement drill of a suspected shooter who'll be shooting blanks. So when you hear the gunshots, don't get concerned. Don't try to intervene. Don't run in. This is a drill. And so the guys are all given, look what happened down there, you know, in Miami with the stand down orders. Look what happened in Orlando with the stand down orders. I mean, the guy's supposed to be opening up with people with a machine gun inside of the doggone Pulse nightclub, and they're given stand down orders not to go inside and not to breach. I mean, it's always the same thing. You got some lone gun nut guy who basically starts shooting people. See, remember, when they do stuff like this, when they plan this stuff, this takes a lot of preparation to do these things. If they're being staged like this, you've got to have crisis actors in place. You've got to have people that are going to be the actual victims in place if the guy's really going to unload on somebody and shoot them. You've got to make sure, like Austin said, that the person either commits suicide or is whisked away very quickly before they can talk. They don't want another incident like they had out there in Colorado where all of a sudden the guy basically gets to sit there by the car mumbling to himself, wondering what in the world's going on. He's probably supposed to kill himself and he didn't do it. And the crazy thing about that is how many times have you heard his testimony? Anytime, this is what, that's 4 or 5 years ago. How many times have you ever heard him speak about anything that happened on live media? None.
Or you don't hear it. Zero.
There's no interviews. It's like you never get to hear what they get to do or what they get to say. So I really believe the vast majority of these things, people get wound up. I believe that in some cases, people actually get killed. I believe in every single case, it's all about gun control, and it's all about spinning and controlling the narrative. Now, remember something. This is so important. Trump has not done anything as far as 9/11 disclosure. Nothing. He said he wanted to do that, hasn't done anything. He has intentionally now withheld the release of the rest of the Kennedy documents until after he's out of office if he doesn't win a second election. Remember that. He did that too. And he said he's protecting people and agencies. The people would be George Bush Sr. The agencies would be the FBI, the Police Department of Dallas, and the people that may still be alive in their very old age who are involved in all of this stuff, along with the deep state and the CIA. He's protecting all of them because he was told not to release that information. It was mandated to be released. He didn't do it. He kept it behind. He didn't release it. Why? Because he was told not to. See, he's also not doing anything about the chemtrails. You know, you and I in Austin, we've all had this discussion, you know, several years ago. We'll know if Donald Trump's in charge of the doggone country, if the chemtrails stop, or if there's going to be full disclosure on the chemtrails, or the government comes out and says why they're doing the chemtrails. I mean, if there's some kind of nefarious reason that they're doing chemtrails, I mean, let's say it's part of the military-industrial complex, which it probably is, and they have to use it for over-the-horizon radar, and they have to do it, they have no choice, then just tell us. And basically, don't do it over agricultural areas that are going to be sprayed with aluminum to poison the soil. Do it out in the oceans if you have to do that nonsense, or to detect exotic propulsion systems. I mean, just tell us. Just tell. Don't act like we're all a bunch of idiots. And we don't know that George H. Bush was involved in the doggone shooting and the cover-up of John F. Kennedy, and that Lyndon Johnson wasn't involved in it. I mean, we got so much information on it right now, but they don't want to do that, Austin. They want the entire generation of people who were alive, which is my generation. I was like, 7, 8 years old when all that happened. I knew exactly where I was. I was in a school bus going to school in the morning or wherever we were. They turned a doggone bus around, brought us right back home when Kennedy got shot. That's when I found out about it. Now, this is the stuff that happens all the time in the United States because we are under siege. Okay? Trump is not in charge. last night. If you're on my personal email list, you just received one of my inside sources to the White House. I was invited to a pastor's prayer dinner last night, sent me several videos, and I sent them to my inside list. And you'll see, you know, my friend walking up the stairs, sitting there, hearing Trump speak. You'll see that they're like 30 seconds of video. They're very short. But it's just like, I've got a lot of contacts. And when I talk to them all, and they tell me, look, you know, he's not in charge. He's not in charge. Remember what Robert David Steele said about Vegas, Austin, when we had him on after Vegas, after the Vegas shooting? He goes, Trump knew about it, but he was powerless to stop it. That's how entrenched. Remember, the CIA doesn't get its funding through Congress as far as letting them know what's going on. A lot of it's part of the black operations. A lot of it's because of the drugs coming in out of Afghanistan. And a lot of it's through the Exchange Stability Fund that was started in 1933 when we really lost our country. And the coup was set up for the for the Rothschild banking cartel to be able to run the treasury through the Exchange Stability program. That's what happened in 1933. So if you don't get that Exchange Stability thing, none of that makes any sense. But that's when it all happened. So they don't have to be funded any longer through congressional oversight. They can do whatever they want to do. So if they want to hire a bunch of black ops specialists to go in and kill 25 people or 25 children or 25 adults or 25 anybody anywhere in the world, they don't have to ask anybody, Austin. They just do what they want to do. And the only thing they answer to are the Rothschild bankers. And also then, of course, we know that goes right up to Lucifer. So that's what's going on in all of this stuff. So it's kind of crazy when you stop by and you look at it, but you got to ask yourself a question. And don't get me wrong. I like a lot of the stuff Trump has done. I've got that. But guys, I mean, it's enough's enough. I mean, let him come out and do it. Now, maybe he's waiting until the midterm elections. Maybe he's going to go ahead and do something, but I don't think so. I mean, he could have had Hillary Clinton basically on the griddle by now, Austin, and he could have fired Jeff Sessions long ago. As soon as Jeff Sessions recused himself at the beginning of this, if I'd have been Trump, I'd say, I need your resignation. If you're not capable of handling this and monitoring what's going on with this, and you're going to recuse yourself because you're my friend, I got that, but I need to put somebody else in there who's not going to be biased towards me or biased with me or biased against anyone who's going to be able to handle this. But Jeff Sessions should have been terminated long, long time ago, and this whole stupid Russian nonsense with Trump has got legs all over the place now. It was supposed to be a Russian meddling in the election, and now they're going after people because they've got a bank account they didn't disclose. I mean, it's ridiculous, Austin. This whole thing's complete and total nonsense. What do you think?
No, it is. It's lunacy. And this is what it's turned into now, is essentially just a reality TV show. This is what it really has. It's bread and circus. It's to keep everything wrapped up around all this drama. So everybody flips on the news every night and says, well, I wonder what's going on with Mueller. I wonder what's going on with Sessions. I wonder what's going on with Trump. I wonder what the Russians did now. And for a large percentage, and you know, our listeners don't think like that because, I mean, they just don't. They did, they wouldn't be listening to our show. Our listeners are brilliant, but a large percentage of the population in the United States thinks like that. They have to be entertained by everything all
the time.
That's
exactly
right. So to them, they want to go on TV and watch basically the Trump administration reality show. So they sit there and they stare at CNN, they stare at CBS and NBC all night long and hear about all the different drama. It's just drama. Drama. When it reminds me, when you turn on CNN, it reminds me of cluckling hens. If you guys have ever had chickens before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Is when you go in a lot of times to the chicken coop, and they're all feisty in there, and they're just cluckling. They're just in there cluckling. And that's what it reminds me of when you turn on a lot of the mainstream media now. They're just cluckling. They're literally spewing out random, completely useless information that doesn't benefit anybody whatsoever. It's simply there to push their agenda in whatever direction they want to take it. And now, Deb, what you just said as far as with the congressional funding, you're absolutely right. One reason why, and I've had this confirmed by numerous people who basically been in the military and everything else, one of the reasons why the push for opium in Afghanistan has been so high, and the push for the drug running and the weapons running, and especially moving machine guns to ISIS, and the payments that they get as far as on the black end, the black budget on the end of that thing, that money, the black op budget money, is what they use to fund specific operations, i.e. a kill of 25 people at a school or some type of other off-the-books black op. They can't go to Congress. They can't have any type of connection. Even if the money is in, you know, some slush fund and they draw money out of it, if at any point in time that money can get transferred or shown that it was directly linked with the CIA or the FBI and was directly linked to Mossad or some Middle Eastern hit team, they have an issue. And see, the CIA has become unbelievably efficient at staying clandestine on everything it does. And you can see that very clearly in that movie, Sicario. I know I refer to that movie a lot, but the first one really goes into detail on how the CIA literally has no operation bounds. Even if they want to operate inside the United States, they literally just have to have an FBI member that's tag teaming along with them so then they can operate inside the bounds of the United States. They know how to act clandestine, and they know how to get things done off the books so that nobody gets caught. So when you hear about an individual like a teacher at the Montgomery High School down here in Stoneman High School, and she says she sees a military guy in full body armor and a gas mask and helmet carrying a rifle she's never seen before, shooting students in the middle of a hallway, and then engages her and open fires on her. And then you kind of go, but wait a minute, wasn't this kid like halfway mentally retarded on a bunch of medications, weighed like 90 pounds, dripping wet, and walked into the school on the first floor, and then all of a sudden she sees this individual 5 minutes later on the third floor in full body armor and a gun she's never seen before, and then all of a sudden he just disappears from the school with all the other kids 20, 30, 40 minutes later, and nobody knows what happened. But then the oddest part about that whole situation is, to this day, and nobody can rebuttal me on this, to this day, there has not been a single video release of that individual walking around that school, on the premise of that school, or in the hallways of that school, anywhere released at all. The only footage that we have that even shows that he was anywhere near the school was 45 minutes later after the shooting, walking to a McDonald's almost five blocks down the road. And that's supposed to be their evidence that proved he was in the school. Yet nobody can identify him because he was supposedly wearing body armor with a face mask and a gas mask on. Again, these are things that nobody wants to address. And this goes right back to the reason why we're seeing this giant purge of the alternative media on all the social media platforms, because they don't want us bringing up these topics. Am I saying that that event didn't occur? No, I'm not saying that at all. I know that event occurred. I talked to people that were down there. Do I think the event occurred the way that we were told it occurred? Absolutely not. The same thing with Vegas. The same thing with the Pulse Club in Orlando. The same thing that's happened in numerous these shootings. They are not what we are being led to believe, especially in Aurora, Colorado. Like Ted said, why has not one single person in the media interviewed this guy? He's been in prison for, what, 5 years now?
Yep.
He's not.
Yep.
He hasn't gotten the death penalty yet. He's sitting there in solitary confinement. Does nobody want to know what went on in this kid's head? Why he decided to supposedly rack up with full body armor, load up numerous AR-15s, breach the back door of a movie theater, throw in tear gas and smoke containers on both sides, however you do that, I don't know, on both sides of the movie theater simultaneously, and then shoot and mow down half of the movie theater? And nobody has asked the question, why? Nobody's gotten a press pass to go into the high security prison and say, bud, what made you snap? Why did you do it? We all want to know. Nobody's done that, guys. Does nobody else have that question but me? No. The reason why nobody's done it is because they're not allowed to do it. I can guarantee you any amount of money, if a press pass tries to get access to him, they have some type of excuse on why they will not allow him to speak to anybody, whether they're going to say he's psychotic or he's violent, or he's unstable, or he's in solitary confinement indefinitely for getting in fights. Doesn't matter. He's in the prison industrial complex now. They own him for the rest of his life. He'll never get out of there because they do not want him talking. But he was an anomaly because he didn't shoot himself. Something happened in that situation in Aurora that did not allow him to shoot himself. And like I said, the whole concept that never made sense about that entire shooting, this kid's loaded up level 4 body armor, got face armor on, for good goodness sake, supposedly, helmet on, gas mask, multiple AR-15s loaded for bear, full loadout rig, has like 12 magazines on him. Goes in, throws tear gas, pops smoke, shoots up the entire movie theater, runs outside, police are arriving at the scene, and all of a sudden he goes, man, that sure was way too much work. I don't want to shoot anybody else. I'm just going to sit beside this car here in a stupor and drool on myself. I only have 15 more loaded magazines. I don't want to shoot anymore. I'm just going to lay here and basically pass out. No, it just doesn't happen. Psychotic individuals that are basically mass murderers that want to engage in that behavior don't act like that. They either, one, they blow their brains out, or B, they start engaging every living human being in the vicinity. That's what happens. So what happened that night made no sense, and none of us have ever been able to hear from him directly on any type of social media, any type of real media, any type of interview. Nothing has been released, Dad. And again, nobody asked the questions why. Hence, when we do, they want to pull everything down, which is why the social media platforms are doing a full-blown purge on everything right now. Even I saw an article earlier, dozens of Facebook pages involving holistic medicine have been being pulled down now for the last couple months. Just natural medicine, natural cures, people awakening, collective conscience, a bunch of these guys have all been pulled down as well. Why? They don't want us asking any questions, Dad.
Well, you're right. You remember Timothy McVeigh, the guy who supposedly did the Oklahoma City bombing? Where in the world did I ever see anybody interview him that was made it public? Any independent interview? Any ever? No. Anyone? Did he? Supposedly he's dead. I mean, look. Let's go back down to the shooting down there in Miami. You know, when the guy's walking five blocks away, remember who turns him in? It was a rabbi from a Shabbat sect, which is known to work with the CIA. I mean, we're the only show that reported on that. I didn't hear anybody else say about that, Austin. A rabbi from a Shabbat sect saw him and noticed him and called the police and had him detained. I mean, really? Does anybody really believe that? Because remember, and Shabbat has been known to work with the CIA all over the world and provide safe houses for the doggone members of the CIA and other special intelligence and, you know, and secret, whatever you want to call them, like MI6 and the Mossad and the CIA and everybody else. It's just, that's what they do. Speaking of Israel, this is from the Global Research. It says, Israel spying on Trump. Is Israel interfering in U.S. elections? And this is an interesting article. It's ironic that the Robert Mueller investigation and the possible collusion between the Russian government and Donald Trump campaign continues to turn up nothing, while the evidence of Israeli interference in the U.S. political system continues to surface without any outrage being expressed by either the media or the American politicians. Why? Because Israel is a Rothschild fiefdom. The Rothschilds own the media. Doesn't happen that way. And plus, with the incursion now into Christendom with Zionism, they just don't want to do it. The pastors don't want to step into that noose. The most recent revelation concerns a payment of $10,000 given to a former Trump campaign advisor, George Papalopoulos, in an Israeli hotel room in July 2017. A self-described Israeli businessman named Charles Twala provided the money at the meeting, which was set up after Twala flew to the Greek island Mykonos. I've been to Mykonos, where he met Papadopoulos and invited him to come to Israel to discuss some possible business relating to an oil and gas project in the Aegean Sea. Papadopoulos had met with Twala through an Israel political strategist, David Havir, who is a hardline Israeli settler with close ties to the government of Benjamin Netanyahu. Papadopoulos agreed to do so, leaving his wife, Simona, in Greece. Guys, you can read the rest of the article, but guys, this is just crazy that AIPAC and the Israeli lobby have this kind of power, and what is it, 40,000 employees and volunteers of the United States alone? I mean, what the heck? Y'all, you know how big of a corporation that is? And on top of that, they raise billions of dollars a year, and plus they get fed, and these lobbyings raise billions of dollars who lobby for more money for the military-industrial complex of Israel. I mean, you know, Robert David Steele, Sheila, me, Dave, Jeff Rentz, you know, Doug, there are only a handful of us that even talk about this, Austin, because it's so politically incorrect among Christian circles, because they want to believe that no matter what Israel does as a fulfillment of prophecy, it doesn't matter, and that God's divine hand
is involved in that, which I personally don't believe. Chuck Baldwin doesn't believe. And I don't think anybody listening to this show believes anymore, because anybody who used to believe that either doesn't believe that anymore if they're listening to this show, or they have stopped listening to the show. It's just one of those things. And it's just people don't understand, Austin, what's going on and how this is getting worse and worse. By the way, health article, deaths from drugs now, alcohol and suicide now outpace diabetes, the study shows. And diabetes is a big cause of death, guys. Deaths from self-injury, a category that includes drug and alcohol use and committing suicide, has now surpassed diabetes as the seventh leading cause of death in the United States, a new study has shown. In the recent study, researchers used previously available data from the CDC to estimate the number of deaths due to self-injury compared to the number of deaths from diabetes. Using data from 2016, the researchers showed that 29.1 people per 100,000 died from self-inflicted injuries compared with 24.8 from diabetes. So here we have, the true number of deaths may be grossly underreported, the researchers said, as the risk factors and reporting methods vary and difficult to assume. But guys, we are so entrenched in separating suicide from drug overdose or alcohol poisoning deaths that people can't wrap their heads around the idea that they're related, according to Dr. Connery, PhD and MD, co-author of the study and clinical director of the Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse at McLean Hospital. Guys, this whole thing with opiate overdose, opiate death, opiate suicide, alcohol abuse, all of it. In fact, they're saying now, Austin, that 17% of the United States is using pot, marijuana, on a semi or semi-regular basis. That's a lot of people. 17%. That's a lot. Okay? And see, that drug usage is going to get higher and higher and higher as the petro-pharmaceutical corporations continue to raise more and more and more marijuana and more drugs that they're going to cultivate for use for the American population. Guys, don't get caught up in that. If you're using it for a medicinal reason, if you're treating cancer with it or something like that, that's one thing. But don't start doing recreational marijuana. It's just not something that's going to be any good for anybody long-term-wise, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely something you have to be very, very careful with, especially if you need to use it as a tool but not as a crutch. The one that scares me the most is this issue we're seeing with fentanyl. And so many, if you guys haven't noticed this, there's been like four busts just in the last month and a half of individuals getting caught with fentanyl. And I don't mean like getting caught with a little bit of fentanyl. I'm talking getting caught with like kilos of fentanyl, which that stuff is dosed in the microgram dosage. Like you take 100 to 200 micrograms of this stuff at one time, and in some cases it can still kill you. These individuals are getting caught with, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds. There was one I saw the other day. They arrested him. He had 45 pounds of fentanyl on him. They said it was enough to deliver like 10.5 million lethal doses of this stuff. Now, what's creepy about this is because of how dangerous fentanyl is, because it's a topical, this could very easily be something that is exposed to the general population in some type of false flag issue, or something that is added to some type of supply in order to get people unknowingly hooked on opiates. This stuff is just starting to rear its ugly head because fentanyl has not been out for a very long time. It should never have been approved by the FDA for any legitimate purpose whatsoever. There's too many available options in taking opiates, including intravenous like morphine, or basically taking an opiate pill like OxyContin if you have a very serious problem like cancer, you're basically going to die. There's too many ways of administering it besides doing a topical patch that is nonspecific. I mean, it doesn't matter if you rub your arm up against it. There's been numerous law enforcement officers that have been severely injured from opiate overdosing because they've arrested people and got this stuff on their hands or their arm. They end up having to go to the hospital just because it rubbed up against their forearm. This is some really, really scary stuff, and I don't think we're seeing the end of it right now, especially that we've seen so many individuals now just in the last couple months get caught with gross quantities of this stuff. It's very, very spooky to me, and this is something that everybody has to be aware of, because I don't think, as I said, I don't think this is the end of this stuff. I think it's going to be the next generation of heroin, and it's going to become even more of an issue, because you got to remember, there is a glut of opium poppy being produced in Afghanistan right now, and I mean glut. There's so much of it, they can't even move all of it right now. So the next available option is to make something even stronger stronger, even more aggressive, even easier to transport in higher doses than heroin, because heroin isn't even cost effective anymore, because it's gotten so cheap on the street now, there's such a glut of it, people aren't even having to cut it when they sell it. So fentanyl is the next step in trying to make this stuff. And so this is something that really everybody needs to be aware of. Make sure your kids aren't getting involved in this stuff. Make sure they're not getting exposed to it. And by all means, especially if you engage with somebody, like with a fight or something aggressive occurs like that, make sure this stuff isn't being used, because I've heard of that happening now with people using this stuff, especially with dopers and getting in fights. They'll try to rub this stuff on you, which is a really, really scary place to be, because you don't even know what happened, Dad.
Well, they could put it on handrails, Austin. They could put it on handrails.
Oh, yeah.
They could do all kinds of stuff with it. I mean, they could put it on handrails in a subway station in New York City. You know, I mean, and to do it first thing in the morning before everybody gets there, and basically have it sitting there is like a like Vaseline all over everything. And everybody's grabbing it and touching it, not realizing what's on. And all of a sudden you got people, you know, 20 minutes later, however long it takes for an opiate, it probably doesn't take 20 minutes. It probably, it's pretty doggone fast if it's a topical and it's got a transport agent. And it could probably kill you within minutes, probably start collapsing within seconds if you had a high enough dosing. And see, this is the problem that people are going to run into also with all of these drugs. Remember, the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, Rothschild banking, Rockefeller medical complex, okay, don't ask me to repeat that, they're all about getting as many people addicted to drugs as they possibly can. Because number one, it takes you out of the equation. Okay, if you're a stoner, if you're a doper, you like to drink. I mean, if everything's a six pack in the TV at night, you know, some guys go, you know, if I got a six pack, I got a TV, I'm good. Or I got a joint, I can light up a joint tonight and got a six pack and a TV, I'm good. That's all there is in life. They don't sit around listening to the Hagman Show. They don't tune in to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. They're probably, you know, watching, you know, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation and laughing about that, or watching the fixed Monday Night Football. And this is all they care about, six pack and a TV, or shot, you know, or basically a joint. And this is all they live for. You know, the other day we had some sheetrock repair we had to do here at the house on Saturday morning. And my contractor, I called him up, as a friend of mine, I said, "Do you have anybody who does a sheetrock repair?" He goes, "Yeah, I've got a guy, he'll be over here on Saturday morning." And I said, "Okay." Well, so he calls me up on Friday afternoon. He goes, "Well, he's supposed to be there Saturday morning, but he might not show up." And I said, "Well, why not?" And he goes, "Well, he gets paid on Friday night. So he's probably going to go out and get drunk, smoke some weed, and may or may not be sober enough to get up out of bed on Saturday morning." And sure enough, he was not sober enough to get up on bed Saturday morning. He couldn't make it. He went here. Didn't show up. And finally, he got somebody else to come in for me on Sunday morning, which made me miss church, which was aggravating. But it's just what it is, trying to get stuff fixed in the middle of a construction boom. And I think to myself, guys, this is just nuts that people still think a six-pack and a TV or a joint is all there is to life. I don't need anything else than that. And sure enough, the guy's not married, or if he has been married, he's divorced. If he has kids, he doesn't see them. He's estranged from them, and he's kind of a loner. You think, wow, really? But see, there's a lot of people like that, Austin. There's millions and millions of people that are the same way. They may not do the six-pack, they may not do the joint, but they're going to watch TV all night. And they're going to watch the Worldwide Wrestling Federation again, or they're going to watch some other type of thing that's going to put them into a beta, beta wave state, or, you know, they're going to put them into a theta wave state. And they're going to relax and sit there and drink a diet soda and suck down their potato chips loaded with MSG and drool on themselves and not even remember what they watched the next day because their brains are so fried. And see, this is the problem that we have. See, what Trump did, and I'm going to brag on Trump for just a second. What Trump did, you know, he woke everybody up who was willing to wake up with his campaign, with all his rallies that he did. In fact, it's almost like he walked into America. And because I really believe he wanted to do something huge with this. They set it up as the Donald Trump reality show after he won. But he wasn't supposed to win, guys. That was supposed to be Hillary's deal. She's supposed to be the first woman president. We should be under full bestiality, sodomy, and pedophilia by now with that weirdo witch. Okay? But he came in, and he really wanted to make the changes. It's like he grabbed America by the shoulders, by the scruff of the neck, and he shook them, and he goes, "Wake the H-E double sticks up. Wake up! That's enough of this! You guys have been sleeping too long. This is stupid! Political correctness has destroyed this country." And that's what he did. And all of a sudden, I was like, now we got, like, I went to my precinct to vote a few minutes ago. Usually in a midterm election like this, you know, in a primary, you may get 50 people showing up. There were 400 people already there today by the time I voted a little bit ago. I mean, and I told them, they said, "This is the craziest thing. We've never seen this many people show up." Why? Because people don't want any more of these Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian druids in the doggone White House or in Congress or anywhere else, Austin. Personally, I believe, unless the election is completely fixed, we're going to have a huge swing with even more Republicans getting into office and then more Democrats being cast out, because what they've done is they've overplayed their hand with this whole Trump-Russia mess. And everybody is sick of it. They know there's nothing here. They know that Trump should fire Sessions. And I think Trump probably will fire Sessions after the midterms. Of course, I would have asked for his resignation long ago. I mean, what difference does it make? The media already hates Trump. So what if he fires Sessions? Whatever, man. Put an attorney general in there who's going to get off the pot and do something. This is ridiculous, waiting for this guy to move. I mean, it's nonsense, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're exactly right. There's no, and I haven't even got to vote today. I'm going to go vote after work, which is fantastic. I'm sure it's going to be really crowded after 5 o'clock. So, I mean, it is. I hope we have a big turnout today, man. This is something that we have to do. And we don't have any options left anymore. There's not any options left. But also, too, in other news as well right now, I found this to be very interesting. Remember, I've talked about the China's police state, the social credit score now. Now, on top of all the other weird things they've added to it, algorithms are being used in the province now to determine who will be the most likely person to commit future acts of violence or defiance based on your social credit score now.
Oh, God.
So if they've seen that you've gone places, yep, they see this Minority Report again in real life. What they're going to do is they're going to start looking at the people you hang out with, the places you go, the things you say, because remember, they monitor everything you say over there. They got microphones everywhere. They got cameras everywhere. They listen to your conversations. So all that goes into an algorithm database. And what it does is, with the AI that's so advanced now, it runs all this data faster than any human being can do it, and it kicks out the most probable candidates, you know, from worst to best, of saying, okay, well, all this information we compiled, here's your top 20 most likely candidates that are going to be defiant in our area right now. And so then what they do is they go out and they pick everybody up, round them up. You haven't even made a crime yet, haven't even done anything wrong. They say, we're going to detain you indefinitely right now until we figure out what you're about to do. And you go, I wasn't planning on doing anything. I'm just hanging out, chilling. What are y'all doing? And, well, you're being detained indefinitely until we figure out. That's where it goes, guys. That's how it went. As far as with Nazi Germany, that's what happened in Russia. That's what happens in under any tyrannical government when they come in and completely dictate and control. And one thing that I thought was crazy now is precisely what else will get you flagged now on top of the list of all the things I've mentioned in the past now. They believe that if you own too many books, that is also going to put you on the list as well and lower your credit score, or your social credit score, if you own too many books. Why? Because you're an educated man. Now they really hate
reader.
You. So that's just the way it's going, man. And so, and what's weird about this is, you know, I saw an article with Dave Hodges earlier today talking about the Chinese and how they want to basically come in and take a lot of our land and our resources because of the debt that we owe them, which I fully agree that's a highly probable scenario in the near future. And one thing that I've been seeing lately that's just very strange to me, as many places out west, they've been building huge ghost towns just like they have in China. Out there, nobody's in them yet. And I finally found an article the other day now of another billion-dollar city out in New Mexico. And this is the beginning of the article. Listen to it. It says, in the arid plains of southern New Mexico desert, between the site of the first atomic bomb test and the U.S.-Mexico border, a new city is rising from the sand. Planned for a population of at least 35,000 people, the city will cost over $1 billion and will showcase a modern business district, downtown, smart city, neat rows of terraced houses and suburbs. It will be supplied with pristine streets, parks, malls, and a church. But no one will ever call it home. The site, which is called the Center for Innovation and Testing Project, is a full-scale model of an ordinary American town. It will be used as an experiment to develop new technologies that will shape the future of urban environment. Now, if you can't call BS on this entire article right off the rip, then you got to read into it a little bit deeper. Nobody is spending over $1 billion on a smart city that nobody is ever going to live in. That's a complete and total lie, especially the fact that it'll hold almost 40,000 people in this city. There's people, there's going to be maintenance done. Things are going to have to be cleaned, upkept maintenance, property, everything's going to be taken care of. You can't just build a city and nobody's ever going to live there and it's ever going to be cost effective. What I've been seeing with these, because this is not the first one I've seen now, and this is something that ties in. Dave Hodges didn't bring this up, but this ties in with what I saw today and I kind of thought about. A lot of these ghost cities that they're trying to bring up basically out of the sands, as they say here, in my opinion, are going to be used to house Chinese nationals that want to come over here after they try to take part of our land and try to essentially say that we owe them this. So they're going to try to repo it is what they're going to do. They're going to try to repossess it. There's no reason you'd have facilities this big that nobody is ever going to live in, especially with the technology they're going to add to them. The only other plausible scenario would be the UN 2030 agenda, which plans on moving huge, huge cities out of major areas and
That's
putting
right.
them in very, very controlled, very highly populated, restricted, essentially police state cities. No vehicles. I've talked about this before a couple months ago. They're working on another one out west that they actually want people to live in. No vehicles. There's only going to be smart driving cars or Ubers. Basically, everything's going to be self-contained. You're going to have your restaurant, your downtown, you know, party scene. You're going to have all your convenience stores. Everything's going to be within walking and Uber distance. There's going to be no need to have a vehicle. And then you're going to have these giant skyscrapers that act as main business settings like Google, or you're going to have Amazon call centers. Areas like that where people can be good little slaves, work all day, go back to their home right down the road, go live in their 300-square-foot apartment, and then be able to go out and about at night and never have to leave this smart city. That is the future that they really have in mind for everybody, because at that point in time, nobody will be able to rebel whatsoever, because you can already guarantee these are going to be gun-free cities. 100% bet money they're going to be gun-free cities. There's not going to be any ability to get things in or out without being flagged for contraband, and I mean, say, IEDs, supplies, body armor, anything like that's going to get flagged immediately. So this is what they're turning these things into, in my opinion. So when I hear about these cities coming out of nowhere, over $1 billion out of New Mexico, they are going to do something with these cities. They are not just for a test housing facility. They're doing something with them, Dab. So I wanted to kind of bring that up when I saw it earlier today.
Well, I agree. It's either going to be that or 2030. What it reminds me of, remember that one movie that Sylvester Stallone did, and he had Wesley Snipes in it, and they were like, basically, Stallone was a cop, and the rest of his life, they were both put into a deep freeze, and they woke up like 100 years later, and we had this super advanced city they were living in, and they were like, what the heck is this all about? Remember? I mean, this is what they're pushing for. They're pushing for a group of people to live that are going to be basically computer controlled. They're going to probably be computer enhanced with computer chips, and they're going to be able to do whatever they're told to do. Like you said, if they're going to be there working with Google or working with Apple or working with any other corporation, they'll basically be going back and forth to work in their 200 square foot apartment per person. So if you've got six or eight people, they may give you 800 square feet, and everybody has to bunk in the living room. And it's like the Chinese do now. The Chinese have these cities that these people live in, and you know, and what happened with they had to put suicide nets outside of Apple because the people were so depressed from having to live like this, they were diving out the windows and rather die than they would have to go to another day at Apple. And so the Apple got so yep. embarrassed, they had to put suicide nets out in front of the out all around the outside of the building. So if they fall, the suicide connects, collect them, and they can, I guess, take them into a psych ward to get them straightened back out and put them back to work again. It's crazy, bud.
Yep.
But that's where they're trying to take everybody. By the way, General Mills is smartening up. Remember a few years ago when we had Chipotle's and they were saying that they were all GMO-free stuff, and also they got a big loose lawsuit simply because they had the GMO corn syrup in their doggone sodas at the soda fountain, had to have a big payout if that trial's even finished yet. General Mills now realizes because of glyphosate contamination in almost all of its products that it is removing 100% natural label from Nature Valley granola bars after the glyphosate lawsuit was initiated. And chances are they will be taking this off of everything as far as being 100% natural. All the country companies out there now, Austin, because of glyphosate and this giant $200 million claim that was basically settled out or they're still working on. They don't want to be involved with this. Remember when Oreo cookies, you were too young, about 10 or 15 years ago, Oreo cookies had a lawsuit against them because of using trans fats and hydrogenated oils. And what ended up happening is Oreo and all these manufacturers are dumping hydrogenated fats immediately because they knew from their own research that the hydrogenated fats massively increased the risks of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, particularly breast cancer in women, and they didn't want to be sued. So the guy dropped the lawsuit with Oreos, but he got everybody's attention with that. That's what's going to start happening with the GMOs now, and also, not maybe not as much with the GMOs, but with the glyphosate, because it's been shown to be a non-carcinogen now and basically has a jury award over it, and all of the research was released from Monsanto that we got a hold of through the Freedom of Information Act that shows their own research showed the product caused cancer, like 15 different types of cancers. So Monsanto's in trouble, and Bayer may be in trouble, but I'm sure they got all kinds of legal barriers between those two companies as far as any type of litigation or lawsuits from the Monsanto group. So it'll be interesting watching the next few years, because remember, the Rockefeller Medical Rothschild Industrial Pharmaceutical complex controls all of this stuff, and it's all being used to basically reduce fertility. Now, speaking of people with health issues, I got to real quick. We got to pray for Doug Hagman. Doug Hagman, I talked to him today. He's got some issues with his stomach. I'm not at liberty to say what, but we need to pray for him, Father, right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray for Doug. I pray for a full and total restoration, a full healing. I thank you, Father, that he's completely and totally healed, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Yeah. And while I'm praying, I'm going to go ahead and pray for Alex in Australia again. Father, I thank you, Lord, that he's completely and totally set free, that the cancer that's in his body, that he's going to be completely and totally healed. He's going to walk in divine health, Lord. I also pray for my friend out in Montana whose daughter's been diagnosed with cancer. I ask you to completely restore her. And also Jan, who had the jaw cancer, I ask that you completely restore her, Father. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Guys, thanks for letting me do that with you, because I like to pray with you, because there's so many of us listening now that when we all pray together, it makes such a huge difference in the spiritual world. It really, really does. Thank you for that. I appreciate you doing that. Austin, what's your next story?
Yeah, well, another story. This is crazy now how we're seeing the younger population in the school systems become so emboldened with rage over something as simple as a hat. I saw this article over in California today, which was, it almost shocked me, but not much shocks me anymore. So I quickly realized, again, this is just the new normal, as sad as that is. A student at a high school in El Dorado County, California, has now been charged with 2 counts of battery and suspended for a week after snatching a MAGA hat from a fellow student and then allegedly slapping the teacher as he escorted her out of the room. Now, I watched the video on it. The student's mid-class meltdown was caught on a cell phone, which shows the male teacher struggling to separate the irate 17-year-old senior from her Trump-supporting classmate as she grabbed the hat, threw it on the floor as she decried as a racist and hateful symbol, and then slaps the professor when he's trying to get her out. So she has battery charges on her, which I absolutely hope these do not drop. I hope they fully charge her with the full extent of the law. These are little Antifa babies in the making. These are what these children do. These are what they think is the new normal. Literally, when you watch the video, she's in class. They're in class, in the middle of class. There's another kid, like a 17-year-old boy, up at the front of the class, and she's up at the front to the right, and he's wearing a camo Make America Great Again Trump hat. Cool-looking hat, actually. And she starts, you can hear words. She starts, they're having like a verbal altercation. She runs over to him, yanks the hat off of him, like snatches his head forward. He jumps up and basically bows up on her. She slams the hat on the floor, basically screaming that it's a racist and hateful hat. The professor jumps in the middle of her and basically tells her she's going to be escorted out, starts escorting her out. She slaps him while the professor's trying to do this. And it was so funny because then I watched the news article. They interviewed this girl, and I mean, she's white, 17-year-old girl. You could tell she wasn't uneducated; like she was rather bright. But my gosh, was this girl ignorant? She's just ranting and raving about how this hat is one of the most racist, hateful symbols ever in the country, and that she completely defended her actions and she did nothing wrong because she was only expressing her political views. And she said that maybe it would wake people up because it was not cool to have that environment in the classroom nowadays. And what just kind of boggled my mind is, if you take a step back and look at it, is no matter what these people want to say, this is still the current sitting president of the United States. You don't have to agree with him. You don't have to like him. Heck, you don't really even have to respect him. But at the end of the day, he is still the current sitting U.S. president. And to sit there and decry something as simple as his last name being on a hat and that we're going to make America great again as a racist and hateful symbol shows you the true arrogance, but also ignorance that these younger generations are starting to express. And it almost boggles my mind that, because when you think they can't get any more ignorant or any more brainwashed from the rhetoric in the mainstream media, you see stuff like this on video, and it shows you that there are no bounds, and that the bottom of the barrel has not even been reached. And I don't even think we've seen the end of this nonsense yet, but it's only going to get worse, in my opinion.
Well, it's like I talked about yesterday. You know, we've got an entire generation. See, Austin, you're 30 years old. You know, I'm 62 years old. I had you, I think it was like 32 or 33 when you were born. And what's interesting about this, and I mentioned this yesterday, I'm going to briefly say it again. I'm still alive enough that if you had autism, if something was wrong for you from shots, that I'd be taking care of you. You'd be at home with me or whatever. And, you know, I guess it would be changing your diaper. You know, as horrible as that sounds, but we would. And the problem with this is that now we've got a whole group of parents now that are my age. They've got a whole bunch of kids. I mean, we're talking millions of children now that have had brain damage from these shots. And they're all getting older and older and older. And the younger children are having more and more and more shots with more and more brain damage. With now it's 1 in 32 children, 1 in 32 boys up in New Jersey with autism. Pretty soon it's going to be 1 in 15, 1 in 16, then 1 in 10, 1 in 5, 1 in 2, then almost everybody. And then pretty soon we're going to have an entire country of people who are brain dead, who have no ability for concrete rational thought, and who act like this idiot girl who knocked off the hat. See, when you damage your synaptic function because of aluminum, you start not thinking through things. You can't take a complex solution to a simple problem. You make things too weird. Like, it's a racist symbol. It just says make American great again. How is that racist? And her brain, she can't get past that. And see, this is the problem that you run into. Anyhow, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are so awesome. Thanks for listening today. Got to pray for you again today. It was my pleasure, my privilege to do that. You guys rock. I love you. Hope you enjoyed the show today. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and do the write-up. I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys.
Got it. Absolutely, guys. We appreciate the support. Thank you for everything you continue to do for us. Thank you for supporting us, even if it's just buying your multiple. I went ahead and I started a special today. I had a lot of requests for it because of how popular the Fit Food is. We're running a back-to-school special on our Fit Food. It's a three-pack, but it's even better than before. It's you buy two cans of our Fit Food, and you get the third can completely and totally free. The Fit Food's a great product for early morning breakfast when you're in a rush with kids. You can mix it in with some organic goat's milk or organic almond milk or something of that sort. You can make it at bedtime or in the afternoon or evening. It's a great way to make a protein shake. It's got really good bioavailable protein in it, L-glutamine. Really, really great product. And the chocolate version, which is my favorite, tastes amazing. I mean, you mix this in with some organic goat's milk, throw a frozen banana in there, you got yourself a smoothie. And if you really want to add some calories, like for a child, like my son Hunter, who's absolutely all over the place all the time, throw some extra coconut oil or some cod liver oil in it. If they're even older, you can put some organic cashew butter or almond butter in there as well, because they can digest the nuts. Makes a really good shake. So that's on the front page of the website right now. Be sure to check it out. The Fit Food 3-Pack Back to School Sale. I'm only going to be running it for a couple days because inventory is sparse on this product. It's still a very, very fresh expiration date on it. I think we still have another year and a half to 2 years on it, but we can only run it for a couple days because we pretty much have no margins at this point when we sell it for this price. But I want everybody to get a chance to do so and have a good, high-quality protein backup source for their kids at the house at all times. So check it out, healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, email us or call us, 1-800-726-1834. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.